I don't know about you, but I'm an expert on the subject of the entanglement of sin. It seems as soon as I feel I've mastered or gotten the problem under control in my own life, I let it get me messed up again. Conquering sin is a lifelong process. But it's not a process that we are left to face on our own if we're born again children of God. If we were to have to completely rely on our own power to conquer sin that invades and tempts to roar in our lives, we'd have no chance whatsoever. Jesus puts it so correctly in John chapter 8. When he says, if you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. In a gospel lesson this morning, a Pharisee named Simon had invited Jesus to his house to have dinner. And Jesus is reclining at the table when a woman suddenly crashes the party uninvited. She's weeping. And when she sees that her tears have splashed onto Jesus' feet, she wipes them up with her hair, kisses his feet, and pours perfume on them. And Simon the Pharisee is incensed that Jesus is allowing this woman, obviously a well-known sinner, to touch even his feet. And Jesus, knowing what Simon is thinking, says, Simon, I have something to tell you. And he goes on to tell Simon about two men who owed money to a certain moneylender. One of the men owed 500 denarii, the other owed 50. And the moneylender forgave both of the men's debt. And Jesus asked, now, which of them will love him more? And Simon replied, I suppose the one who had the bigger debt canceled. And Jesus says, you've judged correctly. And later in our lesson, Jesus says, therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little loves little. So obviously the moneylender in the story is God. But who are the two men who owe the debts and can't pay them back? I was discussing this with one of my colleagues that I have breakfast with on Wednesday morning this past week. And he said, I think I'm going to stand up in the pulpit and declare that no person in this church deserves to go to heaven. And I responded, well, and probably not everyone is going to heaven. The two men in the story who owe their debt to God are you and me and the rest of the entire human race. And the question is not who has sinned more. The question is who realizes their sins for what they are. There's a joke that I've heard many times that goes something like this. A man dies and goes to heaven. And as he's being escorted down the hallway to his room, his escort warns him, now we must be very quiet when we pass this certain room. Don't make a peep. And the man asks, why? Who's in there? And the escort replies, that's the room for the people who think they're the only ones here. And this joke could apply to any one of us. And I do think it applies to Simon the Pharisee in our scripture this morning. You know, Jesus doesn't pull any punches. He tells it like it is. And this sinful woman in our lesson was no more of a sinner than Simon was. And as a matter of fact, Simon may have been even a greater sinner than the woman. And the key is that the woman realizes her sins. She was aware of them. They tore at her very soul. She realized how they had ruined her life and alienated her from God, robbed her of a life of joy and peace. And Simon the Pharisee wasn't even aware that he was a sinner in need of repentance and salvation. And this can be one of the greatest sins of all. This keeps us in darkness as to the light and the love of God. And this can keep us from entering His kingdom. And it can result in an eternal damnation. For without the forgiveness of sin, there is no salvation. The Bible reminds us in Romans chapter 3, there is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So the question is, are we aware of the sin in our lives? And if we are, what are we doing about it? Someone once told me a real neat conversion story. And it's a story about a woman who one night went out on the town with some of her girlfriends, minus one particular friend who happened to be too busy that night with something else to do that she couldn't join the group. And during the course of that night, this woman and her friends gossiped about and basically ripped this friend who was absent up and down. And when this woman returned to her apartment, she was confronted in her mind with what she'd just done. She said some horrible things about her friend behind her back. She'd spent the entire night with her friends doing that. And it was at that point that this woman realized she was a sinner in need of salvation. Do we realize that we are sinners in need of salvation? You know, when I'm down on myself and just generally feeling down, I tend to do a lot of introspection as to why I've lost the fruit of the Spirit, why I've lost the love, the joy, the peace and patience, why I've lost the kindness and goodness and faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. And when I think about this, I start thinking about my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I ask, why do I feel this way? What have I done to get so far off track? And the answer always comes back the same. I've allowed myself to be entangled in sin. And maybe I've sinned against another person in some way I didn't even realize that I was sinning. But anything that we do that hurts another person and desecrates another's sacred worth is a sin. And you might ask, why is it such a sin? Because God loves that person more than any of us could possibly imagine, no matter who that person is or what that person has done. A sin against humanity is a sin against God Himself. And sin separates us from God. Sin is our great enemy. And when I sin like that, I must come back to the cross, repent of my sin, and press on. And in the meantime, I realize a bit of the awesomeness of my sin and rejoice with tears of thanksgiving to the only one who is able and willing to forgive me. I said as I opened the sermon that I'm somewhat of an expert on sin. But who is the greatest expert of all? Some of you may answer, Satan. And indeed, Satan is an expert on the subject. After all, he's the one who tricked Adam and Eve. He's the tempter. He's the one Peter warned us about when he said, "Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour." But Satan isn't the greatest expert on sin, not even close. It's the one who was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights in the desert, never giving in to the devil's attempts to destroy him. He's the one who shared in our humanity and suffered when he was tempted, who was tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. It is the one who conquered sin, death, and hell, and the devil, by dying the death that we deserve and crying out on our behalf, my God, why have you forsaken me? It is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the one through whom all things were made, who is the master, the expert on sin. And he's the one who, only one who can help us overcome the sin that entangles our lives. You know, the Pharisees didn't like Jesus much. They didn't like the way that he let people touch him, like the woman in our gospel lesson this morning. They didn't like the way he talked. They were experts on the law. And so they thought, but Jesus was an expert on the law and sin. Listen to the words of Jesus. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces, you snakes, you brood of vipers. How will you escape being condemned to hell?" He told them they were like whitewashed tombs that look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside they are just as dead, if not more so, than everybody else. And he told the crowds, "You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, 'Do not murder.' But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. You have heard that it was said, 'Do not commit adultery.' But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. You've heard that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." So what's Jesus saying here? He's saying we're all sinners. We're all in the same boat. So we need to get over ourselves. We're all in the need of salvation. The woman in the gospel lesson this morning knew the depth of her sin. And she knew how much she had been forgiven. And oh, how she loved Jesus Christ for his forgiveness. The Pharisees didn't understand sin at all. So they plotted to have Jesus killed. They hated the man. I want to leave you with this. Do we know the depth of our sins? And have we allowed Jesus Christ to forgive us? Do we love him because of the great love he has for us? The greater we understand our sin, the greater we understand God's love in Jesus Christ, and the more love we have for him. Amen.